on the Rebel Sports Network from Learfield. This is the Tony Sanchez Show, live from Born and Raised. The Tony Sanchez Show is brought to you by Country Financial. At Country Financial, we know planning for your future can feel overwhelming, but something this important deserves attention. Take simple steps today at countryfinancial.com/simple steps. This is your home for the UNLV Rebels. Now, here are your hosts, Russ Langer and Caleb Herring.
Welcome to Born and Raised, the official home of the Rebels on the road, the program presented by Finley Toyota. Russ Langer here along with Caleb Herring and head coach Tony Sanchez talking Rebel football. We're hoping it's not the last Rebel game. We don't know. First of all, the Rebels have to win, and then even then, it's a crowded field as far as the bowl picture goes, but one thing at a time. Coach, how you doing?
I'm doing great, doing great.
Good deal. And Mr. Herring is in the house.
I am in the house, and I'm feeling good about this Rebel season, the hopes that are coming with this week. A great game last week, a barn burner for sure. So we got some fun stuff to talk about this week. I mean, a lot on the line that for the Rebels going up north, that's what we'll say. We're going up north over yonder to play the pack up north. So that's always exciting, especially, you know, as an alumni, I'm excited to get back up there, paint that cannon red, you know.
Bragging rights are up for grabs right now, and of course, and we'll get into this as we go along. We're going to talk about the New Mexico game first, but you know, there's a lot of talk about Reno, about the Wolfpack, about the challenges they've had to win games and giving up a lot of yardage, giving up a lot of points. When you have a rivalry game and when they know they can block the Rebels from a bowl with a win, a lot of those numbers just go right out the window, don't they?
Absolutely. I mean, when you look at rivalry games, you literally throw it out. You could have two teams that are 10-0. You could have two teams that are, you know, 2-10, and, you know, you throw them out the window completely. You know, they take that rivalry real serious, and it's something up there they talk about year-round. And, you know, and for us, we know what it's like to take the cannon away and paint it red. We did that, you know, a couple years ago. We know what it's like to see it dragged off the field and, you know, repainted blue. And I'll tell you what, I know the feeling I enjoy a lot more than the other. So we've talked about it all week, and we've talked about it all year. This isn't, you know, most games, it's a one-week deal. This is a year-round deal. You know, you talk about it the first day we come back from Christmas break. You talk about it before spring ball. You talk about it periodically throughout the year. I mean, it's in camp, and, you know, bye week you talk about it, and it's something that you continually bring up, and it's something we put a big emphasis on just like them. And, you know, you've got two teams trying to do totally different things. When we want to go out and win the cannon and get to a bowl game, they're trying to stave off the worst season in 50 years and to go ahead and take, you know, eliminate us from bowl pictures. So let me tell you, there's two teams that have two totally different goals, and, you know, they're not a bad team. I mean, when you watch them, especially as of late, they've kind of settled down a little bit. They score a lot of points, give up a lot of yards, but they've won some good games as of late, and I think they're a confident team. Played San Diego State down to the wire, beat San Jose State handedly. So they've got a couple things, you know, kind of going in their direction, and they're going to use that to motivation. But, you know, we know what's at stake, and we're fired up, and, you know, we took what could be a tough season, and we got a chance to end up, you know, 4-2 on the road, which is huge for us, to get ourselves a 6 wins for, you know, what, fifth time in 50 years. There's a lot of things that we have that are right there in front of us, but we got to go fight our tails off and earn them on Saturday.
Caleb, as a former player, discuss, if you would, what the Cannon game has meant to you and what it means.
It's intense. I mean, when I started off, it wasn't as serious. Obviously, it was due to me my freshman year. Kind of some of the older guys took it a little more serious than I did, but as the years went on and I experienced the game hand-to-hand, I experienced the fans up in Reno, how crazy they get, even down here when it's going on down here, and how rowdy our fans get when the game actually comes to blows. I mean, it started off a little lopsided in my years, but definitely built the fire behind it. So now I'm both feet in on the rivalry, as most alumni are. Going up north, there's always some good bulletin board material. I asked you about that a little later on, Coach, if there's anything that jumped off the press to you that to inspire the locker room a little bit. But there's always that fire, that competitive spirit throughout the year, not just with football, but with every sport that's going on. But I think football, of course, as with most rivalries, is at the forefront of things. So being on that stage as a player, you want to relish it. You want to take advantage of it. You want to, like you said, have those bragging rights. I graduated with those bragging rights. So, I mean, it, to me, anytime I see a Reno alum, I'm telling him, hey, I painted the cannon red. That was the last time I played in it, so I get to hold that over anybody's head. So it definitely, it's even a family thing with me. I think my brother-in-law is actually on a staff at Reno, so he's all about the blue, and here I am. I took his sister in. I took the cannon. That's always what I can hang my hat on. So you know, it's a really serious rivalry, and the deeper you go with it, the more intense it gets.
Do you ever get the sense that as big as it is for the folks in Las Vegas, in some ways bigger for the folks in Reno?
I think it is, and for the simple reason that I think Vegas is a bigger town. There's more going on in Vegas than there is up in Reno. I think the smaller community, the more tight-knit community, I think they pour a lot more into their university's football team. So I think just for that, and because the school's older, obviously, there's a little bit more history there. There's a bitter feeling, I think, of, you know, the Vegas lights. Everybody gets the attention down here in Vegas and the Strip and all that stuff. So I think they hold dear those things that they can hang over our heads. But I think as of late, the rivalry's been a little bit more competitive and the Rebels' favor. So I think the sparks are there for this town to kind of take it a little more serious. But I would give them a slight edge as far as which community takes the rivalry to heart a little bit more.
And Coach, of course, you're wide receiver at New Mexico State. I know a little bit about that school, having gone there also. And I, as an Aggie guy, I remember when they played the Lobos, obviously it was huge. But when they played UTEP, it was just as big. And the attitude, and maybe there's some parallel here with Reno versus Las Vegas, the attitude was when the Aggies would beat UTEP, it was, all right, you guys can pack up and go home to your bigger city and your bigger town and your symphony and all that stuff. And, you know, we're a much smaller town, but we're not powder puff.
Yeah, well, that's a mentality that's been fostered there for a long, long time. This is a team that's been to 15 bowl games, 13 since the 90s. I mean, they've been nationally ranked before. I mean, you know, this is a team that has a great football tradition. I mean, you know, they do. I mean, it's not just, you know, winning the Mountain West. I mean, they were a 1AA school that perennially fought to, you know, be a top 10 team and then made the jump to Division I in a short amount of time and became a powerful Division I team. And you got the Kaepernick teams and what Coach Alt did there. They had a history there that runs pretty deep. And I remember my playing days in New Mexico State. It was a raucous crowd. I mean, it's a rowdy environment. They take it real serious there. So, you know, and that's something that we're building towards. We've had our moments, you know, and we're building towards it. And, again, we are a bigger city, you know, a lot of things to do. But we've got just as many fans as fired up about it. And then our job is to go ahead and go out there and, you know, stay focused on the task at hand and continue to build the brand. And, you know, it'll be as big here one day as it is there. Like Caleb said, it's just a little easier in a smaller town. And, I mean, you look through the papers, and every single day there's two or three articles about the game. It's all about the game this whole week. And, you know, we don't wear blue in our building for 1 week. They don't wear red in theirs for a year. So, you know, it is what it is. But we're excited about it. It's going to be a fun game. You know, I mean, you talked about some bulletin board stuff. You know, I mean, remember when Coach Norvell got the job, one of the things he said is we're the premier program in the state of Nevada, you know. And, you know, well, you know what, we want to be that too, so we got to go fight for that stuff. And I remember one of their assistant coaches, when he got the job, took a picture of the cannon and tweeted out, "Gotta this," you know, and that was kind of a direct shot right at me, you know.
Oh, man.
So, it's, hey, that's good stuff. You know, we've held on to that stuff for years. It's kind of hanging around the building right now. And, you know, but once you kick off, all the words and all that stuff, you know, the energy's there. You got to keep the passion, but it comes down to execution. You know, I mean, the lineman assignment technique, blocking and tackling, getting lined up right, you know, being able to overcome the momentum they have. They got to overcome the momentum we have at times. There's going to be swings within the game, and just staying at a heightened level of play the entire game.
Well, the first thing we're going to get into is the game that the Rebels just won. And a shot to the gut for the New Mexico Lobos as the Rebels rallied late to win a thriller 38-35, the final score. First of all, Coach, we're going to go step by step through what happened. But let's just give your overall impression, first of all, of Armani Rogers, who seemed to misfire and overthrow many times. But when it counted most, he really stepped up.
Well, yeah, he had a tremendous game. If you look at the stat boxes, you go, wow, what a game. And, you know, when you're there in person, you know, it's a little different. I mean, he had a good first half, you know, a really great first quarter, right? Had a good first half, had some big runs. Second half, third quarter, into most of the fourth quarter, really struggled throwing the football. And he was just struggling on the easy throws, you know, I mean, overthrowing a lot of guys. A couple times we had a chance to move the chains and wasn't able to hit him. And, you know, the frustrating thing was when there was about 4:04 left, we had a third down situation. You have a wide open woods, you hit them, move the chains, keep rolling, get rid of all the drama, heart attacks, all that good stuff, you know, and but we don't hit them. But I remember when he came to the sideline, and he, you know, there's no point yelling and screaming at a guy. I mean, you say, hey, man, we're going to have to hit those throws if we're going to win games down the stretch. I mean, it's not about the tough throws, it's about making the easy throws, you know. And he looked at me real calmly and said, no, I know, Coach, it's on me, I got it, you know, I'll do a better job, I'll get back out there. And he was talking about that night, so You know, we ended up, you know, giving up a long touchdown, which was frustrating. But when he went back out there, and my goodness, you know, first down, incomplete. Second down, we ran a draw, didn't get much. So you're sitting there on third down, and all of a sudden, moves the chains to Presley, hits Woods, runs up, beautiful fade, two-point conversion fade, and, you know, the rest is history. So it speaks volumes to his character and his belief in himself and his own abilities and his leadership, too, to be able to do that. And that's the makings of a great quarterback.
We're going to break the game down a little bit more in detail. And later in the second half of the show, we're going to have a conversation with Rebel junior running back Lexington Thomas, who keeps living up to the nickname Lightning, and for all the right reasons. And so he'll be our special guest second half of the show. But Rebels victorious in Albuquerque. A lot of good individual efforts.
It really was. I mean, you talked about Lexington. You talked about Armani. You look what Darren Woods had, a 100-yard game. That was big. Keys making the plays towards the end of the game. Defensively, when you look at what Jason Fowle and Hughes continue to do, I mean, they just do a really, really solid job. Obviously, we got to get a little bit better on that side, but those guys continually do a good job. And then Evan Pantel's coming up and being real big in the kicking game, making those two field goals. So I thought there was a lot of good efforts.
I want to say the defensive end, Fowle, and the interior of that defensive line really all together. I mean, a lot of times option teams, especially like New Mexico, rely heavily on that dive. And I think that interior of the defensive line, Mike Hughes and Fowle inside there, they did a great job of stuffing that early. And I think everything that, you know, like you said, there's some stuff to patch up defensively, but you can at least hang your hat on the fact that nobody runs down the gut, down the pipe on those two, because they are stout on the inside. And I think, you know, it shows with teams that game plan. They try to come down and run right at the middle. Even when they try to, the runs end up bouncing it outside because they're so solid in the interior.
Yeah, you're right. Those guys have done a great job all year. And, you know, it's the perimeter where we're getting hurt when they push the ball wide, you know, and, you know, especially in the option. And, you know, safety's got to come up and make tackles. We've really struggled doing that. They had one quarterback keep where, you know, he pushed wide outside the tackle box and pulled up inside the linebacker. The linebacker overran it. But those guys have done a tremendous job inside, and it hasn't made a difference who he's played. I mean, even Hughes, I mean, some of the highlights he has against Ohio State, I mean, he can
absolutely
handle that. And he's a great player, and, you know, he's a great story. A local kid that stayed here, has developed into a great young man, a good student, great football player, and he's going to have an opportunity to go on and play after this. So those are the kind of guys you're fired up for this week going into the Cannon game. And, you know, it's kind of funny, we didn't talk about it earlier, but one of the things we do is when you walk into Rebel Park, we've got these stone etchings. And if you're senior class, your name is etched on there. No freshmen, no sophomores, no juniors, only the seniors. So, you know, we talked about this for a long time. And on the plank in our locker room that's empty right now that used to have a cannon on it, we took a picture of every one of those etchings. We put it there. And in the middle, we have 2017. And it said, will your name be etched in history? And, you know, we've had that all year sitting in there. And I know those guys are fired up to do it. So they've played a great job, good job against New Mexico, good job all year. But I know they're fired up to get their name etched.
Mike Hughes, speaking of, has said that he's really hoping to be part of the transition between the Rebels being sub-500 and the Rebels being a winning program. And obviously Saturday can go a long way toward that.
Big time. You know, guys like Mike know it better than anybody because they've been around for a long time. 5 years he's been in the program. You know, he's seen the good, bad, and the ugly, and he's seen what we've been able to do as far as, you know, the character and the quality and the work. And he knows it's coming, but he wants to be a part of it. He don't want to be a part of just kind of that foundation that no one gets to see the success. And Saturday's a big step towards that. Again, it's not going to be easy. It's going to be a hard-fought battle, and we'll see how it comes out. I know what we believe is going to happen, but we're going to have to go out and do it. But I would love so much to see a guy like Hughes and Boyd and Fowle, and there's so many other seniors that have just worked so hard resiliently and also bought in right away to what we're trying to get done here to be able to play an extra game. You know, that's been something that's been elusive from UNLV for a long time, playing in the game that wasn't scheduled.
Well, you talk about the way the Rebels were able to get this win over New Mexico and some of the lessons that can possibly carry over to Reno, staying the course, battling back, keeping your composure.
Yeah, well, you know, what a weird game. We came out and jumped on them pretty good, and, you know, and they end up getting up, you know, 14-10, you know, which was real frustrating seeing them come back that fast. And we had two explosive plays before half to take that 10-point lead, and then you come out and you play a pretty good second half on offense. Defense struggles a little bit at times. But then to see that lead evaporate and then for us to go down the field, kick the field goal to take the lead again, and you're like, all right, here we go. You know, a couple minutes left. We just got to get a good stop or get a couple first downs, and you don't, and you see it disappear again. And how many times have we been there? You know, I mean, any Rebel fan, you've seen it time and time again. Since I've been here, we've seen it time and time again where you play a solid game, you do some good things, and at the end it just slips away. for us to have the moxie to come on down to execute that, to get that win, you know, it finally fell on our side. You know, we finally were the ones that were able to go ahead and close that thing out. It's a big deal for confidence, big deal for momentum. And, you know, our guys walking in the locker room on a Sunday after that big win is a whole different deal emotionally than walking in after a tough loss.
Usually when you're talking about a game of runs, which I think is what that last week's game was, you're talking about basketball. You're talking about game of runs. You know, you go 10-point runs each team, and whoever has more runs ends up winning. You usually don't say that about football games. Of course, there's ebbs and flows, emotional, but it seemed like there was three separate times where you thought, okay, we took control of the game. Obviously, jumping on them early, we questioned before the game if the Lobos would have the fortitude to, you know, that being their last home game, not really playing for much, to come back from getting punched early. And I think, to their credit, they did twice because they were down 10 at two different points. And I thought for sure going into the locker room after that 80-plus yard run by Armani to score on a one-play, you know, two-minute drive, I'm thinking for sure coming out of the locker room, okay, they're not playing for anything at this point. They're going to be dead in the water. But for them to come back and then for the Rebels, obviously, to respond the way they did and win in dramatic fashion, like you said, not too many times have they come up on the winning side, UNLV, of games like that. And it's a huge step. I know it might not mean much to other people looking out, but it's a huge step for UNLV to finally come out on the upside of one of those games. How can you speak to the way they responded to emotionally that roller coaster?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, there's been so many times where we felt like, you know, you had to be perfect to win, and this is a game where we didn't have to be perfect to win. I mean, early on, you know, you had Presley, you know, wide open in the end zone. We have an overshot there. You know, you've got Woods down the seam on a double move. We overshot there, and we left a bunch of points out there. And a lot of times that's come back to bite us, and we just couldn't recover from that. So, again, it's one of those deals where, you know, we're giving ourselves more opportunities. We're staying in games longer. The thing we have to eliminate, we're going to go win this game, or we're going to go, you know, play a game after this. We're going to have to eliminate those long extended drives after we've gone ahead and taken momentum. So, like you said, you come out of the locker room, you know, you pin them back, and they drive the length of the field. You know, we had one time where we scored, got by 10, and you punt the ball, they've got the ball like the, I don't know, the 5-yard line, something like that, and they end up going 95. I mean, we have to make those pivotal stops. Those are the momentum swinging changes in a game. You get a stop there, drive down, you kick a field goal, extend it to 13, or score a touchdown, really put them away 17. Those are the big momentum things you're talking about, and we have to eliminate some of those flows on their side when we have momentum, and that's something that we struggled with throughout the course of the year. But we're getting better at it. You know, it's a team that's learning how to play situational football, learning how to go ahead and kind of put their foot on the throat of an opponent, and we've struggled with that at times. Even though we've played well, there's been many times this year where we could have really pulled away from opponents and just haven't done that.
Time for our first break on the Tony Sanchez Radio Show, live from Born and Raised, the official home of the Rebels on the road. The show presented by Finley Toyota. Much more to come right after this on Learfield.
On behalf of UNLV Sports Properties, we'd like to extend our deepest sympathies to those affected by the 1 October attack. Please join us in supporting the victims by going to GoFundMe.com and donating to the Las Vegas Victims Fund. We are Vegas Strong.
In a blink, just think of all the games, teams, hopes, and dreams that live and die. Because greatness lies in the blink of an eye. With the Contour Sports app from Cox, you can watch a game live and track multiple games at once, all right there on your TV. Don't miss a big play while you're checking your phone. Access the Contour Sports app from Cox with voice control or through the main menu and get stats and scores on your TV screen without interrupting the game. This is the sports app on Contour from Cox. Visit cox.com/contour to learn more.
Energy never disappears. It simply gets passed on to the next person and the next. Until before you know it, the entire community can feel it. In the last 5 years, we've given more than $27 million and over 175,000 volunteer hours to Nevada nonprofits. And we'll continue to give back because what's good for the community is good for all of us. Learn more at nvenergy.com/powerofgood.
When Findlay Toyota has a sale, it's a really big deal. We're the largest Toyota dealer in Nevada. We have the largest facility and the most new vehicles. So it stands to reason our annual year-end clearance sale is also the largest, bar none. If you're looking for a great deal on a new 2017 vehicle, come to Findlay Toyota for the largest selection and the lowest prices. I'm John Barr, and remember,
at Findlay Toyota, we'll do anything to sell you a car.
Football is back, so you know what that means. It's the time to gather back at Born and Raised, the official home of the Rebels on the Road. And why would you go anywhere else? We have over 32 TVs, great Budweiser specials for all Rebel games, and the best bar food voted by you in the 2017 Best of Las Vegas survey. Yep, another one. Come be a part of the excitement this season and join other Rebel fans as they cheer on the team and cheers to a win. Or if you want to host your own viewing party, ask about reserving our bungalow room. Born and Raised on Warm Springs between Buffalo and Durango and in Henderson on St. Rose and Eastern.
A great time! Your entertainment destination, the South Point, invites you to experience the ultimate
great time
under one roof.
Bowling,
dancing, a live show, a movie, delicious dining, and one of South Point's 11 restaurants. So much to see, so much to do. You won't know where to start first. This week, make it a South Point week and discover for yourself why the South Point is your entertainment destination for a great time.
The winning spirit that drives the Rebel student-athletes is rooted in the strength of the communities we all call home in Nevada. As the state's leading mining company, Barrick Gold plays a big role in building strong communities throughout Nevada, where our employees live and work. Today, Barrick continues its support for higher education, the most important asset in any community. We're proud to sponsor the Governor's Series and the hundreds of student-athletes that represent our state, competing for the Rebels and the Wolfpack. At Barrick, we're all for Nevada, no matter who wins the Governor's Series.
The Governor Series, presented by NV Energy and Barrick Gold, is an all-sport competition between Nevada's two premier collegiate athletic departments, the Rebels in the South and the Wolfpack in the North. Points will be awarded equally for each sport during the head-to-head competition between the Rebels and the Wolfpack. And the universities will also compete in the classroom, as this series uniquely incorporates points for academic achievement by student athletes. Follow the standings all season long at unlvrebels.com/governorseries.
On behalf of UNLV Sports Properties, we'd like to extend our deepest sympathies to those affected by the 1 October attack. Please join us in supporting the victims by going to GoFundMe.com and donating to the Las Vegas Victims Fund. We are Vegas Strong.
Ladies and gentlemen, back here at Born and Raised, the official home of the Rebels on the Road with a Tony Sanchez radio show presented by Finley Toyota. Looking for a great car deal? Remember, nobody sells or services more vehicles in Nevada than Finley Toyota. At Finley Toyota, they'll do anything to sell you a car. One of the key plays early in the Rebel win over New Mexico. The Rebels took an early 3-0 lead. And the Rebels got the ball back after UNM punted. Nick Dadash in a key sack during that sequence. And then the Rebels dodged a bullet. Armani threw a pass that was deflected high in the air. Three Lobos in the area. Jake Rosschiller diving. First they thought it was caught. Then the replay showed the ball did hit the ground. And the Rebels were able to get a Lexington touchdown run to make it 10-0. But that was a huge turnaround.
Yeah, it really was. I mean, those are the kind of things that happen. That's why you have the replay. I mean, it was deflected. Ball bounced off the ground. Then he kind of trapped it. So it was good. I'm glad they got the call right. And we continued on to the drive. And Lexington punched one right in. It was good.
It was a good sign for me because it told me that the football gods were on our side that night, because anytime your quarterback, you throw it over the middle, it gets popped up. You can have no control over that, how high it's going to get popped up or who's going to be around it. But it just seemed, you're just holding your breath as a quarterback, just hoping, like, please just hit the ground. Just hit the ground. It was one of those things, like, 9 times out of 10, if you're UNLV, that is an interception. And it just seems like things are stacked against you, ruins a good drive and, you know, all that. Lose 7 points, basically, because you end up scoring on that drive. But like you said, Russ, that was a huge turning point in my opinion, because that was points on the board and then a turnover, part of the turnover battle that you prevented from happening.
Well, and that's a big thing, is the turnover battle. And, you know, we didn't commit a turnover in the game, which was huge. That would have been a big turnover, and it would have been one inside in the red zone, you know, where you're going down to score. And, you know, we got one on the very last play, but there was a game that was pretty clean up until that point. No turnovers, and one turnover could completely swing the entire game.
The teams kind of traded big plays with the Rebels up 10-7. Evan Pantel's maybe his best single punt of the year, down to the 2-yard line, really pinned him back.
It really did. You know, it's good to see him. You know, he had a much better game, struggled the last week, you know, had a good week of practice. And, you know, down the stretch, well, all year long, not even down the stretch, you got to do a really good job in the kicking game. And we've seen Evan. He had a good year last year and kind of struggled this year with some of the injuries and such, but it was great to see that kick get down there and the way the guy covered it.
It was one of the first times this year that we've seen the Rebels really dominate the field position game and do it through, you know, special teams. It wasn't like you know, you were starting backed up, and then they were starting with great field position. There was a few times that they started inside the 15, and that one in particular down inside the 2-yard line was huge. I think Pantelis just looked real comfortable kicking the ball for the first time. I think it not necessarily booming him. He wasn't kicking any, you know, deeper than he normally does, but just situational awareness.
Yeah.
Sometimes just doing the right thing, kicking it, not out kicking coverage, putting it in the right spot. Did a good job in the special teams last week.
Yeah, he did. You know, and I think he's healthier, much healthier. I mean, he's back to almost 100%. And I think with that comes that confidence you need to kick. I think sometimes when you're a little banged up, you're afraid you're not going to perform, you know, up to your ability or up to your standard. So it kind of weighs on you a little bit, and I think he's let some of that go.
After the Lobos scored to go ahead 14-10, the Rebels came back with a couple of big plays of their own. And the biggest one, of course, was the 60-yard burst by Lexington Thomas down the sideline. His sixth touchdown of 50 yards or more. Rebels went up 17-14.
He's a heck of a football player. I mean, they call him Lightning Lexington, and there's a reason for it. I mean, the guy's had he's had one of the better years in the history of the school when it comes to running the football. And, you know, when he's not a big, you know, stout guy, you know, you look at him, he's kind of, you know, small in stature and everything, but, God, he plays big. I mean, he pass pros big, catches the ball well, runs the ball hard and tough, and he brings an emotional energy to the game that we all feed off of.
It's crazy. Every week so far this year, we've looked at the game notes, and we've seen, like, there's three or four records that are at stake or within reach for Lex to achieve. I think it was like the touchdown mark in a single season. He's like third now. Yards in a single season, also he's on it. He's like, he's just a human wrecking ball. As small as he is, he's a human wrecking ball. And that run that you're talking about, it almost seemed like, you know, it was going to be a good run, 10, 15 yards. But because Lex, being who he is, found some room on the sideline and just like scurried away from everybody. It's like once he turned on the jets, the angles just disappeared, and he was able to find his way to the end zone. He's a great player. I hope the best for him. He's got one more year left here, but
thank goodness
he's got some he's got some Sunday potential. If he ever figures out. I know a lot of people take the eyeball test too seriously. With a guy like him, you look at him and say, "How are you gonna play running back?" You know, but he finds a way. In a short yardage situation, he finds a way. Those big plays, he finds a way. He's a special player.
He really is. And, you know, he's a great, great young man, too. I mean, he's so fun to be around with, you know. And he's really coming into his own. You know, I mean, he's understanding the point that, you know, he's a leader out there. People look to him. You know, I think at times early on in his career, he didn't want people to look to him. You know, he kind of wanted to hide out and just be a good player. And, you know, that's the burden you take when you're a great player, is that people are going to look to you for inspiration. So he understands that he's got to model it every day, especially to the young guys. And we're really starting to stockpile talent. You look at Armani, and I don't know if anybody knows this yet, but he is 33 yards away rushing from being the all-time freshman rushing leader in the history of the school. And the record he's going to break is Charles Williams, who's redshirting this year, who broke it last year. So that's pretty amazing when you think about that. We got a guy not playing this year who broke the freshman rushing record. Armani's 33 away from breaking it, 32 from tying it. Then he got Lexington Thomas, who has a chance to be one of the all-time leading rushers. And then he got all these young guys like Darren Woods and Brandon Presley and Keyes was another year. And, you know, and Boyd's going to get ready to end his career being one of the great receivers in the history. So, you know, I'm really proud of so many of those guys. And it's not about individual accomplishment during the season and while you're playing for chasing these goals. But I tell you what, as an individual and as someone who's been a part of it, when it ends for them and you get to look back on what they accomplished, it's a neat thing. It's something that you'll carry for the rest of your lives. You'll share it with your kids, your grandkids. And it's always neat to come back home and say, hey, you know, see that picture? You know, that's when I was a lot younger.
that's right.
What I was doing when I was a Rebel. So it's going to be neat for those guys.
Well, you know, the other thing about Lexington Thomas, it's one thing to sit and watch him and see him do his thing, which is that can be electrifying enough. Six touchdown runs of 50 or more yards. But when you add the component, as a wise man once said, the rest of the story, this is a little guy who spent many of his formative years being told, you're too small, you're never going to make it in a physical game like this. And Lexington told me, we're going to hear from him later in the second half of the show, when he first was playing football, he didn't want to play. He absolutely did not want to play. But his mom said, and she pulled up in the car to the first practice, he was crying. He didn't want to go. And she said, you're going to go out there and you're going to give it a shot. And he went out, and he started to have some success, and he got some confidence. And he told me there was one particular individual when he was in school who said, give it up, kid. You'll never get a scholarship. You're never going to go anywhere. And he said, he kind of smiled. You see the little sparkle in his eye, and he said, I hope he knows what I'm doing now. I hope he knows what I'm up to.
I tell you what, and that's what, you know, at the end of the day, when you look at recruiting, the stars and the rankings and all that BS is just that BS, because you have to watch a film and do your due diligence. This is a kid that we got there. We had 21 days to recruit. We're sifting through film, who's left, who's out there, and you find this kid out of Houston, out of Ben Davis High School, you know, and his film was unbelievable. It was tremendous. And, you know, we go in there and, you know, we end up recruiting him and offering him. And, you know, where's his only offer? And, you know, look what the kid's done. You know, he has a chance to be – he's the number six scoring touchdown leader in the country right now. He's in the top 10 rushers in the United States of America. You know, he's busting off long runs against Ohio State and everybody else. And he's just a great football player. Darren Woods, same thing. You know, I mean, there's so many – that sometimes you're going to go battle a bunch of schools, but you've got it. I mean, he's a perfect example of why you've got to go out there and be able to project talent, you know, and find those guys out there and kind of beat the bushes. Because when you do, you find special guys like him.
And I think that's where UNLV is as a program. I think beating the bush, there's nothing wrong with it once you realize that those measurables, that the, you know, the 40 times, the height, the weight, how much can you bench, all that. At some point, it's what can you do between the lines. And I think that's where UNLV, I think, has the advantage, because a lot of the schools that have been at the top of the recruiting totem pole, so to speak, really just base their stuff off of those numbers. And you miss more often than not with if you base your recruiting off of those things. Like you said, sifting through the film, and this guy all of a sudden jumps off the screen at you, why not take a chance on him? And then look what he's done. He's paid dividends. And there's a few people like him on the roster. And I'm excited because they still have more to go. I think Lex isn't done growing as a player.
No.
I think there's still an element, I talk about it a lot, that he hasn't added to his game. We talked about it here. Once he starts catching passes out of the backfield on a regular basis, the things that he's going to be able to do offensively, if he starts returning kicks, if he ever gets into that, dabbles with that, the total yards that he can affect the game with, Darren Woods starting to come on late in the season. He hasn't had the biggest season yet, but he had a huge game last week, and that just tells you rolling over into next year, if they can carry this kind of efforts in, how special these players can be, and that they didn't get that five-star or four-star treatment coming out of high school, but are finding their niche at UNLV, and I think that's where you start to build the program up. And later on down the line, it just comes in droves, these talented players, and it's going to be special. They're going to be special as they continue their careers.
Time for our next break on the Tony Sanchez Radio Show, live from Born and Raised, the official home of the Rebels on the Road, presented by Finley Toyota. Much more to come, including our chat with Lexington Thomas. We'll discuss the second half of the Rebel win over New Mexico, and of course, the big rivalry game coming up this Saturday, 12 noon. In Reno, this is the Tony Sanchez Radio Show from Learfield.
Energy never disappears. It simply gets passed on to the next person and the next. Until before you know it, the entire community can feel it. In the last 5 years, we've given more than $27 million and over 175,000 volunteer hours to Nevada nonprofits. And we'll continue to give back, because what's good for the community is good for all of us. Learn more at nvenergy.com/powerofgood.
Football is back, so you know what that means. It's the time to gather back at Born and Raised, the official home of the Rebels on the Road. And why would you go anywhere else? We have over 32 TVs, great Budweiser specials for all Rebel games, and the best bar food voted by you in the 2017 Best of Las Vegas survey. Yep, another one. Come be a part of the excitement this season and join other Rebel fans as they cheer on the team and cheers to a win. Or if you want to host your own viewing party, ask about reserving our bungalow room. Born and Raised on Warm Springs between Buffalo and Durango, and in Henderson on St. Rose and Eastern.
Rebels fans, we want you to win. Start posting on social media with the hashtag LesOlsonIT for your chance to win a $100 Amazon gift card every 2 weeks and be entered into a grand prize drawing for a 60-inch 4K TV. Whether you need to copy it, print it, scan it, or store it, Les Olson is there for all of your office technology needs. Just Les Olson it. Visit LesOlsonIT.com for details.
Les Olson Company.
If you want to scale a mountain, buy boots. If you want to turn your crush into something more, say hi. At Country Financial, we know nothing is insurmountable if you just start small. Sometimes, when you have more questions than answers, it might seem easier to do nothing at all. So, whether you're protecting the things you love or preparing for tomorrow, don't get overwhelmed. Get started. We understand every situation is unique. That's why Country Financial helps you take small steps today with personalized insurance and financial services that can have a big impact on your family's future. Too often, too late comes too soon. So when you're ready to start, we're ready to help every step of the way. Country Financial. Meet your local representative at countryfinancial.com.
A great time! Your entertainment destination, the South Point, invites you to experience the ultimate
great time
under one roof.
Bowling,
dancing, a live show, a movie, delicious dining, and one of South Point's 11 restaurants. So much to see, so much to do. You won't know where to start first. This week, make it a South Point week and discover for yourself why the South Point is your entertainment destination for a great time.
He could go all the way!
Have you downloaded the free Chevron or Texaco app? Well, you should, so you can play for a chance to win the grand prize of $25,000 in Chevron gift cards or one of hundreds of other daily prizes in the Touchdown Instant Win game. No purchase necessary to enter or win. Open to legal residents of Alabama, Arizona, California, Florida, Georgia, Idaho, Louisiana, Mississippi, New Mexico, Nevada, Oregon, Tennessee, Texas, Utah, Washington, and Wyoming. Age of majority of state of residence and older. Void where prohibited. Ends 12/6/17. For complete governing official rules details, visit chevronwithtecron.com.
Now that's how you play the game.
ESPN's Neil Everett here. This college football season, Nissan's putting you in the driver's seat. Go to NissanHeismanHouse.com. Build a customized Titan wrapped in your school's colors. Then register for a chance to win it. Enter the Nissan Heisman House Sweepstakes. Take on today.
Get to Nissan, proud partner of the UNLV Rebels.
Go, Rebels!
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Ends 12/8/17. Open to residents of USDC 18 and older. Official rules at NissanUSA.com/Heisman House Sweepstakes. Sponsored by Nissan North America.
Welcome back to Born and Raised, the official home of the Rebels on the road, for a great selection of new and pre-owned vehicles, as well as no-hassle sales representatives. Come to Findlay Toyota. At Findlay Toyota, they'll do anything to sell you a car. We love it here at Born and Raised, the official home of the Rebels on the road. We're on Warm Springs between Buffalo and Durango. TV sets all over the place, great food, 24 hours. And just a great, great atmosphere every single time we come in here. One of the keys to the Rebel win over New Mexico, the way they finished the first half, those two late scores that put them up 24-14 were big. And, of course, the electrifying one was the quarterback draw by quarterback Armani Rogers, went for 83 yards.
Yeah, you know, when they took that lead, it's frustrating. You're on the sidelines and you're frustrated, giving up. You've been gashed a couple of times, but we get the ball back with 3 minutes and some odd seconds left. I think 3:24 left, and coming out of a TV timeout, and you know, Coach Cotton had a great play called, and Lex breaks a big run. They get the ball back, and we decided on third down to go ahead and burn a timeout. You know, figured we'd get the ball back with a little bit, and I think we got the ball back with a minute and 30, 40 seconds left, something like that, and we said, all right, here we go. Get ready to go in the two-minute drill. The first play was run a draw, like a lot of people do, run a draw and see what happens after that, and then we'll react to it. And we didn't have to react because Armani did, and it took it 80-some-odd yards. And it's funny, too. I'm watching, and Boyd's running right down the field next to him the whole time, and I swear he's talking to Armani, you know, like, let's go, let's go, let's go. He ends up getting tackled, so they come to the sidelines. I said, man, did you see that guy? He goes, yeah, I knew he tackled me instead of him. So it was pretty funny. But, no, that was big. It was a huge momentum shift. And I tell you what, watching the film the next day, too, the amount of yards that guy chews up in his strides is unbelievable.
I was going to say, it's like he's like a cheetah, like a stride length on his running. I know a lot of people, it's not very fast. It's not quick. There's no, you know, not a lot of quickness to his stride, but it's like 3-4 yards every step, and it's once he gets going in a straight line,
he's like a 400 runner, you know.
Yeah,
I mean, I bet you if you lined up in a 40 stance and you took off, we got some guys on our team, some guys around the league that would beat him. But I think if they had a jogging start to the 40 line and took off, I don't know if anybody can beat him. I mean, no. That guy, he can
turn on the back. Like you said, Boyd running down with them, you can see the speed there. They were running neck and neck, and I think, you know, that speaks to how fast he is, because Boyd's no slouch when it comes to running.
And that's one of the biggest things you talk about, you know, as he evolves as a passer and becomes more efficient. The biggest thing is accuracy with him, and accuracy comes from confidence, knowing where guys are going to be, timing, not throwing to receivers, but throwing off defenders, and he'll get better at that. But he's going to have so many wide open holes that they have to account for him, you know, and when you have to take a defender and account for him always in every single equation, it opens up holes all over the place. So he goes ahead and, you know, continues to develop, and it'll start this week, you know, being an efficient passer and doing good things in the passing game with his ability to run the football. He has a chance to be a really, really special guy.
What were some of the coaching points that were in play at halftime?
Well, we came back and we looked at some different things schematically. You know, offensively, we looked at some of the things that they were doing to us, and we had some deals we knew we could run the football on and move it, but we wanted to be able to throw the ball down the field. I mean, they gave us so many shots, and we just weren't able to hit them. And you saw in the second half, we had a lot of wide-open guys, especially in the middle of the field. And the week before, Texas A&M, they gave it up. And, we went out there with a plan. If they were going to play the same way and play cover zero or play one high the whole time, you have to throw the ball vertically down the field in different areas. And we did that and had open guys. We just weren't able to hit them. Defensively, there were some schematic things, we wanted to change up a little bit. We wanted to take our outside backers, our Sam linebacker, and we were going to switch it off where he was going to go ahead and he would then feather and take the pitch, right? Feather the quarterback, take the pitch, have the safety run the alley for the quarterback and change that up a little bit. And it worked good. Unfortunately, we didn't tackle real well in space at times. And so we went back and forth, and, Coach Bear made some adjustments on that. And, really it came down to them being better than us in space. And, and that's something we have to address and get
that's
better
one of
at.
Things I noticed at halftime, the adjustment of taking the pitch away instead of going at the quarterback, because it just seemed like the alley player wasn't getting to the pitch quick enough. It's tough to adjust defensively to a team that's just so efficient at running that style of offense. I mean, the quarterback's he was a senior. He's been doing it for a while now. He's really good at running that option and reading what the defense gives him and getting the pitch out early when it calls for it or tucking it up and running. Didn't make a lot of mistakes, especially against UNLV last week. I know the one late in the game really hurt them on one of their drives, but it's hard defensively. A lot of people don't realize no matter what you do to adjust to a good player who's just efficient at running that system, that triple option system, there's so many answers that he can have. If you take the pitch away, he can knife it up himself. If you come at him, he's just going to pitch it out real quick and see if you can catch him in space. And then if you add the inability to tackle in space, it just triples the effect of how efficient they can be.
Yeah, and that was one of the biggest thought processes behind it. They were getting the ball out to the perimeter so wide, so fast, and we weren't real successful in the first half with it, especially towards the end of it. We decided to go ahead and let's switch off and let's push the ball back into the middle of the field as quick as possible, where all the troops are, So we did that, worked at times, but you got to continue to adjust and counterpunch. Ran a cat, probably should have run a couple more cats. That means corner blitzing off the edge. We did that one time, caught him off guard for a big tackle for a loss. And so, it's one of those deals where you just got to keep them thinking. And a great option quarterback doesn't need the coach on the sidelines. He can do it himself. The younger ones do. And he's an older guy and did a really good job with it.
When the Lobos scored right after halftime to cut the lead to 24-21, one of the key plays for the Rebels in the third quarter, Armani hit tight end Tim Holt on a 13-yard pass for a first down, plus roughing the passer.
Yeah, that was really big. I mean, we hit him, we had the first down on that, and they roughed the passer. That extra 15 yards really pushes the ball down the field on that. And I believe that was a drive, though, that ended up getting stalled, right? Was that the drive we ended up kicking the field goal on?
Yeah, field goal.
Yeah, that was frustrating. We got down there, we had option called from under center down on the goal line. Hadn't done that all year, practiced it all year, and wide open. And unfortunately, our center's leg ended up getting kicked back and tripping Armani. Otherwise, we would have walked in. So, again, it just goes down to the details and why you got to be so perfect.
All right, then finally, down the stretch, and we kind of went over this a little bit before. The Rebels down 35-30. Had a last gasp, and it was Rodgers to Presley for a big third down conversion, then the huge toss to Woods. You talked earlier, Coach, about missing on some of the easy tosses. That was not an easy toss. It was a huge connection.
And that's a problem a lot of great players have, settling down and making the easy plays, the routine plays. They're good for the big ones. They're good for the great ones. That's why they're great players and, great potential. So it was really good. I thought he showed a lot of composure, especially on the third down pass. The third down pass was huge because without that, we're not even talking about the rest of the story, right? You get down to now, you got first down, right? The way we ran those vertical routes, the way we had number three press in, we knew the ball was going to two no matter what. We just tried to have the safety hang. And I'll tell you what, they played cover one. One of those deals where if they were going to do that, let's go. And we hit Woodsy on that one. What a beautiful, beautiful ball. And then his moxie to go ahead and carry that guy into the 15. And it was kind of funny because we're sitting there and Barney's yelling, time out. I go, hell no, let's go, let's go.
Yeah.
So we sprinted up the line of scrimmage and those guys, they were kind of lollygagging up there and everything. And they barely got set, snapped it, threw it into the corner of the end zone. And Keyes is a big, physical guy, made a great play. And that was tell you what, man, as a coach, it was great for our team and everything, you know, and then you look back the next day, you know, kind of as a fan, you go like, wow, man, that was impressive. That was a great play, and so excited for my guys. I mean, they work so hard, and, you know, they deserve it. We've had the shoe on the other foot a couple of times this year, and so it was really good for our guys to get that.
It was. I don't want to undermine the throw because, like you said, a cover one seam with 1%er. Tight end coverage, yeah, that's a great throw, obviously. But I think the highlight of that play for me to Woods was the fact that he caught the ball about the 30, 32-yard line and drug a defender maybe 14, 15 yards to get it to where, you know, it's a one-shot striking distance for the fade, the end zone fade to Key. So the individual effort, because the guy's right on him. I think that, I don't know, they're jostling for the ball.
He gets tackled on the 32. It changes everything.
The whole,
you know,
right. I mean, there's
the
30
dynamics.
Seconds left. You know, there maybe not be enough time to take a couple shots at the end zone, but because he drags him that extra 15 yards after the catch, it makes it really easy to come up and say, hey, shot to the end zone right now. Let's do it. So Woods, to me, hats off for that. But obviously Armani, four great passes down the stretch. But Woods, the extra effort, that kind of winning effort to get that ball down in the striking zone was huge to me.
Right now we have our conversation, as we have promised, with junior running back Lexington Thomas right here on the Tony Sanchez Radio Show from Learfield.
Lex, first of all, let's discuss your background in football and as a youngster, how your love for the game developed for you.
When I was little, I didn't want to play football. My mom and dad forced me to. And I remember the first day getting out for practice, I'm crying. Like, I don't want to go. Mama said, boy, get up and get into practice. And from there on, I started loving it.
All right. And then when you started getting into high school, what was that like for you?
It just felt like I've been playing football since I was four, I'll say. And it just felt like a same everyday thing. It was just every day I was playing football, and nothing, it was like nothing new to me, basically.
All right. How do you get up? Because everybody who has a little less size than someone who's normally considered to play football or any other sport oftentimes has a story or stories about being told you're too small, you don't have the size, et cetera, et cetera. What's that been like for you?
Before people see me play, they'd be like, yeah, I don't think you're going to be – you're good, but you're not going to – be able to get to the next level. You're not going to be able to get a D1 scholarship and stuff until they see me play. When they see me play, they come up to me, oh, never mind, you're a pretty good player, da da. And they change their mind. And that when people tell me, I remember my first, my seventh grade year, a teacher told me that you focus on football too much. You're not going to get a scholarship. You're not going to go to college. And that been stuck with me ever since then.
Kind of a motivator.
Yeah, ever since he told me, I was like, all right, never going to forget that. I'm going to work hard every day to get to this level, and I hope he's watching me now.
All right. Now, what caused you to come to UNLV? Let's talk about that process.
Originally, I was with Coach Christian when he was at Houston. We was talking and stuff, and then he had left there, so he had gave me a call, and was like, he told me the situation about UNLV, and I was like, okay, Coach, I'm with you. I'm going to come with you.
All right. Your first game? Your first game last year. Let's talk about last year, your freshman year, and what that was like for you, and when exactly you got to the point, Lexington, when you realized, I belong here. This is where I belong.
I want to say the first game, but I didn't really get the carries to know that I was there. In my mind, my first day here at practice, I knew I'm meant to be here. But for games, I want to say, I think, whenever Idaho State game
Idaho
was,
State, yeah.
Whatever game that was, I knew. Yeah. After that, this is where it's gonna be, and this is how I'm gonna work. I'm gonna get everybody here all I got.
Lexington Thomas, our guest on the Coach's Show today, Tony Sanchez Show, live from Born and Raised. They are the official home of the Rebels on the road.
At Finley Toyota, our mission statement is written in our showroom for everyone to see. It reads, a world-class environment dedicated to building lifelong relationships through integrity and commitment. If that sounds like a family business you'd like to do business with, we invite you to come in today. I'm John Barr, and remember,
he'll do anything at Finley Toyota. We'll do anything to sell you a car.
I'm Marcus Berg. When you've been hurt in a wreck, you need a lawyer that cares and is prepared to go to work for you. At Mossberg Injury Lawyers, we have the knowledge and experience to get you the money you deserve.
Get Mossberg on your side. Call 222-4555.
If you've been injured by someone else's bad decisions, Mossberg Injury Lawyers is here to help.
Don't just take our word for it. Check out our reviews on Yelp or go to our website.
Get Mossberg on your side. Call 222-4555.
When you have sleep apnea, traveling can be a real drag because you have to drag your big, bulky home CPAP device with you everywhere you go. But not anymore. Now you can travel easily and sleep comfortably anywhere thanks to Transcend, the world's very first mini CPAP. And now you can try Transcend for 10 restful nights. For free information, call 1-800-300-9953. Our smallest and most advanced portable design ever, Transcend is as small as a soda can and weighs less than a pound. You can even add a battery that's as tiny as a deck of cards. Transcend is so incredibly small and light, you can easily fit it in your briefcase or purse to use anywhere you go. It's FAA compliant too, so you can even sleep comfortably while flying. Now you can enjoy the freedom to sleep comfortably anywhere, but don't delay. For free information and your 10-night trial, call miniCPAP.com now. 1-800-300-9953. That's 1-800-300-9953.
ESPN Radio 1100 and 100.9 FM.
Welcome back to the Tony Sanchez Radio Show, live from Born and Raised, the official home of the Rebels on the road, presented by Findlay Toyota. Come into Findlay Toyota for the largest selection of new, certified, pre-owned, and used vehicles to choose from. Findlay Toyota, they'll do anything to sell you a car. Jay Norvell, head coach at UNR. It's his first Cannon game. But he's already talking about, obviously, the atmosphere that he's anticipating, bragging rights. The Wolfpack has been moving away from the pistol, using more of a spread system built on quick passes like Washington State, haven't they?
Well, yeah, you know, they hired Hal Mumson as the offensive coordinator, and I'm actually kind of familiar with those guys. I played in New Mexico State, and then after Coach Samuels was there, they hired Hal Mum, and he came in to run the air raid offense, and that's what they want to do. They're not there yet. I mean, they're still transitioning from, you know, the previous staff's guys into their air raid, so I think in a year or two, you're going to see them in a bunch of empty, you know, 4x1s, 3x1s, I mean, different things, and throwing the ball 60, 70 times a game. I mean, I think that's where they want to get to and evolve to. They're not there yet. You got to base it on personnel. But, you know, they've done a good job. Early in the year, they tried to be a little bit more balanced and do some different things, and we're trying to find their way. You know, a lot of personnel changes. I mean, quarterbacks transferring out. You know, they play. Ganji started early, then he got benched, another guy. But I think they found their stride. Ganji's a good player. He comes in, older guys, got some moxie, runs it fairly decently, throws the ball well. They've got those big 6'4", 6'2 receivers. Vertical passing game's really good. And they're going to put pressure on you with the way they tempo. They're going to run up to the line of scrimmage and try to snap the ball fast. Interesting, last week against San Diego State, they got in a huddle and they completely slowed it down, which actually was a smart call for them and gave them an opportunity, and they had a bunch of leads in that game. Defensively, they're going to be real aggressive. They line up in that 3-3-5, and they're going to give you a bunch of different looks, and they have a 3-2 box, but then they're always going to add a 6th guy in different times. They're going to try to confuse you out there. So a lot of guys, a lot of different numbers. It's evolved and changed quite a bit from, you know, from week one to where they are now. So they're kind of different. You know, it's one of those deals where they may get you off schedule a couple times, but you can gash them at times too. So, you know, we've got to go out there, and we've got to be very productive. To me, we got to be really productive on offense. You know, we got to run the football, throw the ball well down the field, and defensively, got to create some turnovers. To me, that's the biggest thing in a game like this is, you know, making sure you win the turnover battle and, you know, getting them off schedule by taking some chances and rushes.
UNR has not created that many turnovers this year. They're averaging about 35 points a game, but the defense has had a lot of struggles against preventing the rush.
They have, and, you know, I think when you're a high-tempo team that's trying to average a lot of points, your defense usually struggles. I mean, not many. I mean, it's funny. You sit here and every week everyone's complaining about Oklahoma's defense. Well, that's because, you know, they're always on the field because their offense scores real fast.
Yeah.
You know, they three and out fast or score real fast. So that's the nature of that type of offense. If you're going to go fast, 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 you're probably not going to have unbelievable stats on defense. However, lately their defense has done better. I mean, you look at the San Diego State game, they did a good job early of shutting down the run. San Diego State returned a punt for a touchdown and a kickoff for a touchdown, or they might not win that game. I mean, we watched an entirety all week, and you look at it and go, wow, I mean, that was a different deal. They load up the box, did a fairly decent job. Penny got his yards, you know, rushed for over 200 yards. But overall in the game, I don't think they got to the 300-yard mark, you know. So that's not a bad day. So they're getting better, again, with their personnel adjustments. And, you know, I'm sure they're going to be fired up and add a little bit to, you know, to the whole thing. And, you know, the team that goes out and I think can, we're both going to move the ball well, right? I think the team that wins the turnover battle, the team that commits to being physical and can run the ball, I think is going to win the football game.
I'm excited for the point in the game where all the game plan and everything that you worry about throughout the week, there's going to be a point in this rivalry game where it's going to go out the window, and it's going to be, it's going to come down to who on the field with the uniform on wants it more, and I'm excited to see the Rebels want it more in this game and want that cannon red, want what this game can mean to them, want to leave Reno with their heads held high. I want them to want it more, and I'm excited for that on Saturday.
We're going to take our final break, be back with the remaining moments on the Tony Sanchez Radio Show with Coach Sanchez and Caleb Herring, the Tony Sanchez Radio Show, live from Born and Raised, presented by Finley Toyota. And they, here at Born and Raised, they are the official home of the Rebels on the road. And we'll take this break and come right back on Learfield.
A great time! Your entertainment destination, the South Point, invites you to experience the ultimate great time under one roof. Bowling, dancing, a live show, a movie, delicious dining, and one of South Point's 11 restaurants. So much to see, so much to do. You won't know where to start first. This week, make it a South Point week and discover for yourself why the South Point is your entertainment destination for a great time.
When Finley Toyota has a sale, it's a really big deal. We're the largest Toyota dealer in Nevada. We have the largest facility and the most new vehicles, so it stands to reason our annual year-end clearance sale is also the largest, bar none. If you're looking for a great deal on a new 2017 vehicle, come to Finley Toyota for the largest selection and the lowest prices. I'm John Barr, and remember,
at Finley Toyota, we'll do anything to sell you a car.
The winning spirit that drives the Rebel student-athletes is rooted in the strength of the communities we all call home in Nevada. As the state's leading mining company, Barrick Gold plays a big role in building strong communities throughout Nevada, where our employees live and work. Today, Barrick continues its support for higher education, the most important asset in any community. We're proud to sponsor the Governor's Series and the hundreds of student-athletes that represent our state, competing for the Rebels and the Wolfpack. At Barrick, we're all for Nevada, no matter who wins the Governor's Series.
The Governor Series, presented by NV Energy and Barrick Gold, is an all-sport competition between Nevada's two premier collegiate athletic departments, the Rebels in the South and the Wolfpack in the North. Points will be awarded equally for each sport during the head-to-head competition between the Rebels and the Wolfpack, and the universities will also compete in the classroom as this series uniquely incorporates points for academic achievement by student-athletes. Follow the standings all season long at unlvrebels.com/Governor Series.
Finley Toyota's 2017 model clearance is underway. All 2017 models are being sold at clearance prices. Come in today for the best selection. Finley Toyota, come in today to Born and Raised, the official home of the Rebels on the road, for all kinds of great food, fabulous menu, all kinds of sports everywhere you look. Gaming, everything in the world, really. This Saturday, Rebels at noon. At noon in Reno. And, Coach, what does your gut tell you about a bowl possibility here?
I think we got to worry about winning the game. We win the game, I think we're going to be in a bowl game from what I understand. But, you know, it's four quarters of football. It's all blood and guts, you know, coming back from, you know, what looked like a tough situation. We got a great group of young men. We're ready to go fight our tails off.
The situation is what it is. I think, like Coach said, it's all about the game at hand, and you do what you can do to make the decision tough on somebody else. You lose this, it's no conversation. But like you said, take care of business on Saturday. Let somebody else make the decision. When the dust settles, Rebels be painting that cannon red, ending the season on a high note.
In recent years, the only thing predictable has been the lack of predictability. The visiting team has won the last five meetings in this rivalry game. So, Coach, we'll see you out there.
Go Rebs.
Go Rebs. Caleb?
See you there.
All right. Want to thank our whole production crew, AJ filling in as the engineer, Mike Sedell back pushing all of the buttons. The Tony Sanchez Radio Show on Learfield. Thanks for listening, everybody.
On the Rebel Sports Network, this has been the Tony Sanchez Show. Brought to you by Country Financial. At Country Financial, we know planning for your future can feel overwhelming, but something this important deserves attention. Take simple steps today at countryfinancial.com/simple steps. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation on the Rebel Sports Network.